Welcome to the Daily Canon Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 284 of the Daily Canon Weekly Podcast. Stephen Bradley here, once again sitting in for Matthew Wade, who has decided that this Arsenal shit isn't worth it anymore, and he's going to concentrate on looking after his newborn son. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him one bit. He'll be back in a couple of weeks. He's taking a little bit of time to make sure everything is sorted out. And meanwhile, you're stuck with miserable Stephen Bradley guiding you through a very, 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 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, very eventful 36 to 48 hours in the history of football. And I think we can all agree that Eddie Nketiah's 97th minute leveller against Fulham will be one of the most important things that's ever happened to Arsenal. Your thoughts, Anita Samba?
Hi, Stephen. Yeah, I was lucky enough to miss that match on Sunday against Fulham. I was following on Twitter, which is always really super fun.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah, there were like mixed feelings, mixed tweets from, oh, we should be scoring, we should be 2-0 up, 3-0 up, and then, oh, nothing's happening, stupid El Neni or stuff like that. But yeah, it seems like not much miss. I watched the highlights and your tactics video and all that. But yeah.
I've engaged my smoke face. If you do want to watch my tactics board video on every game that Arsenal plays this season, which meaningless or not, you can check it out on Daily Cannon's YouTube channel. And yeah, if you like it, you know, feel free to like, comment and subscribe wherever you want. Cheap, clog, sellout, etc. But yeah, I mean, look, the Fulham match, we thought it was going to be meaningless. And then as the afternoon transpired, it turns out that actually it could be a lot more meaningless as we might have feared, as Lana Dawood has also joined the call. And very welcome to join you, Lana, our European football expert. The shit hit the fan, didn't it, at about 2:30 when Tariq Panja from the New York Times comes out and he says, actually, lads, there's 12 clubs that they're quite serious about setting up a Super League here. And everyone went, oh, yeah, here we go again. Another threat. We got UEFA setting up a Champions League reform the following day. Here comes the 12 clubs. Oh, what are we going to do? And he says, no, they're going to release a statement at 9:30. They mean it this time. And then boom. What was your initial reaction, Lana, when you heard the news?
Well, it took off my anger directed towards Lyon ladies losing. So then I got my anger got reignited. And then it reminded me of how much I currently hate Juventus and what it stands for. Oh, fuck Agnelli in every way possible and not in a good way. Just bad through and through, that lying piece of son of a... I hate the guy. He is going to be solely responsible for destroying literally every quote unquote small club in Europe because he's a selfish, greedy piece of shit who cannot get enough money and now wants more. And that's not even the worst part of it. The worst part of it is that he's not even going to, you know, use the money to actually build a super team. He's just going to pocket it himself. I mean, I am so pissed. I literally don't have the words to explain just what a shitty idea the whole thing is. It's the fact that, fine, we know UEFA is corrupt as fuck, but at least if we look at it from, you know, the bigger picture, they want money to be spread everywhere, not just, you know, the, you know, VIP clubs. But these are like 12 clubs come together, basically, as you mentioned, made a new American constitution. It's like, we're the founding fathers. Well, screw you all. I mean, why the hell are we having a Super League? Like, what's the benefits of it for everyone? I'm not just thinking about the 12 clubs. How will it beneficial everyone else? It won't. It would only benefit them. I mean...
So here's, if you have been living under a rock for the last 2 days, here is exactly what happened. You've got six English teams, Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham, why, we don't know, Manchester City, Manchester United and Liverpool, three Spanish clubs, Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid and Barcelona, and three Italian clubs, AC Milan, Inter Milan and Juventus. And they've put together a proposal that says they're going to start their own league. Fuck the UEFA Champions League. It doesn't give us enough money. we don't think that this is a proper investment of our time. We don't think that it's exploiting fans enough. We don't think it's exploiting TV enough. We think we can maximize revenue and profit and all of that kite flying you hear from middle management all the time. And they've gone, right, okay, we think we can do a better job ourselves. We think we can sort out a league, sort out a system, sort out a scheme where the elite level football is maintained and TV partners are entertained and satisfied and customers, not fans, customers are engaged and willing to part money to watch this product. And they've said, look, we're going to do it ourselves. And it's a money grab. Let's be perfectly honest about this. It's brash. It's explicit. It's not subtle. It is 12 owners who have looked at their balance sheet and gone, right, I'm going to lose money this year. How do I minimize my losses? I know I'll take TV money for myself. And are there any pros? If you're a fan of one of the 12 sides and all you care about is winning, yes, there are, because now you're in the best league in the world. Now you're in the league with all the attention, all the money, all the glitz, all the razzmatazz, all the entertainment, all the celebrity, etc. Because that's where the big clubs have gone. And they want to keep that and they want to make sure that it's all theirs in a nice, neat little pocket. Everyone else can go swivel. That's their message.
I mean, they will call up the 5 clubs additionally.
Oh, yeah. They'd get invited. You know, like on Facebook Messenger where you get a link of someone who's been hacked. Would you like to join this league? Sign Sheikh Mansour from Abu Dhabi. Like, but that's what this is. This is, yeah. And it's very American-based. Like Lana said, it's an American constitution where you hear founding fathers and founding clubs. This is what it is. This is American owners like the trust fund that owns AC Milan because their owners were going bust. It's like the trust fund that is about to own Inter Milan because Inter Milan are about to go bust. It's the trust fund that are backing the Agnelli family. It's the trust fund that's backing Real Madrid. The trust fund that's backing Barcelona. The Glazer families that own Manchester United. The Henry family that with that owns Liverpool, and of course the Cronkies that own Arsenal, and they are looking at this system, this pyramid, this glorious fucked up system that football has of determining who's the best, even though they have 4 different competitions and 27 different nationalities and 127 different constitutions and different rules in different places and VAR here and not VAR there. And it kind of works. It still kind of works. They've gone and looked at it and went, nah, doesn't suit us because we don't make much money off that. We can't guarantee to maximize our profits and minimize our losses off that. So why don't we just make the rules ourselves? Why don't we make this another NFL? Why don't we make sure that we can control who's in it, who stays in it, who gets money, and who gets money every year? And that's it. And we don't care who the other 5 teams are. We just want to make sure that we're one of the lucky ones, that we're the ones that get in the door, that we're the ones that set it up. And everyone else can basically feed off the crumbs at the bottom of the table. And it's the response to this that has been so eye-opening, because there's always been a lot of ill-tempered, ill-wind against UEFA and the Premier League and against FIFA, because we all know they're money-grubbing feckers at the best of times anyway, and that the Champions League, as it stands now, is only a knockout competition at the quarterfinal stage instead of it being a knockout competition from the start because they need more games for TV, and that the Premier League only ever exists because 5 clubs in 1988 went to ITV and said, can we sell you our games separately instead of dealing with the other 17 clubs in the first division? Like, the genesis of most of what we consider as football today has been driven by clubs looking for money. And yesterday, 12 clubs went looking for more money.
Greedy bastards, basically. Yeah. You know what the whole irony of this is? It's the fact that Agnelli thinks, he genuinely thinks that his club is worthy of being in the top 12 best clubs in the world, when his stupid ass club couldn't even beat Porto, Ajax, or Lyon in the last 3 years. He went and bought the key player he thought was going to win, you know, us the Champions League. What did he do? It's thanks to him. It's just literally has jinxed us. We've I don't know how we've managed to go from being good enough to being shittier after Ronaldo joined. It's just the whole irony of thinking you deserve to be on top when you can't even beat quote-unquote underdogs. You shouldn't be anywhere near the Super League when you can't even win the Champions League.
You're telling us, Lana. I mean, where is Arsenal at the moment?
Well, but no offense, Arsenal, the sole only reason Arsenal is in the Super League is because of Wenger's former achievements. Yeah. No one knows why Spurs is there. They're just there to fill a quota, if we're being brutally
honest.
You
know why they are there? Because they have lots of, for some reason, lots of fans worldwide in for example, for Korea and Asia and, you know, all that. I think that they have bigger global fan base, which everyone is obsessed with in this Super League, than, for example, I don't know, Everton or someone who is better suited team. Or
it explains their global campaign, though. If you look at it, if you like look backwards, why Arsenal decided to go to these certain areas, why Juve decided to go to these, or like just clubs in general. It's like Wenger was right. He spoke about this already 10 years ago, that one day it's going to be a Super League. And it's going to destroy every club around it. And what's amazing about, you know, just the Super League starting World War III today is the fact that players, more than fans, are so disgusted by this whole idea that so many of them have gone out. I noticed it was a female Arsenal player who went out and tweeted about it, but then she took it down. Mm. It's like so much for, you know, free speech. But I saw Toni Kroos, I think came out.
Ander Herrera.
Yeah, Bruno as well.
Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah. Alda Hegerberg.
Dejan Lovren is also went out. I mean,
a lot of the female players came out. It was really nice because there's going to be a women's Super League as well.
Yeah. While we were starting this, Liverpool and Leeds are about to play Monday night football in Premier League, and there was interview that everyone has been waiting for to hear what Klopp has to say, because he has been against it quite publicly as when it first was announced and talked about and discussed and gossiped. And he was basically what Tuchel said and what rumors are Mourinho said and what Arteta rumored also said, that clubs and that managers and players had no idea about it until yesterday. Which and is that's really crazy.
That's the problem.
I've seen tweets saying that players knew about it. So you don't really know what to believe, because everyone is tweeting everything. And there's even like talks about Bayern apparently has decided to join, but the top big clubs in Bundesliga all went out and said, we are not standing behind this. Plus it's 51% fan owned. So so the fans has a big say in it.
It's going to be interesting to see, like I said, the fallout from this is insane, because Alexander Seferin, the head of UEFA, has hit the nuclear button on this. You know, he's called Agnelli, you know, and Andrea Agnelli
a snake
who happens to be, you know, isn't Seferin the godfather of Agnelli's daughter?
Yeah, they're like brothers, super close friends for years.
Yeah, like
Agnelli decided to ghost him.
Yeah, Edward Wood Thursday evening told Seferin that he was happy with the UEFA proposals for the new Champions League. Everything and then Sunday night puts his name on a letter that says, bleep the lottie, we're off. Like, the brinksmanship at play here is insane, with the amount of money that is at play here. Like, that's the key here. Like, these would be empty threats if it wasn't for JP Morgan, the American bank / trust fund, that have said, right, lads, if you can get this off the ground, we've 6 billion. Like, and that's the key here. There's 6 billion here waiting for 15 clubs to pick up. And that's just a starter. That's just to get in. Like, they're going to split that. Basically, it works out about, because they've got fees and, you know, prize money and that to sort out for year one. But if you join this league, you're going to be handed around 200 to 250 million euros just for joining. And then if they can get a TV deal sorted out and they can keep all their players and they get either PSG or Bayern Munich in, and they invite six other clubs, because if they get a TV deal that's worth twice what the Premier League deal is worth, 20 million a game, no one's turning down that money. It's impossible. Like, we can sit here and be, you know, on our high horse all we want. Celtic and Rangers aren't turning that down. Benfica aren't turning that down. Olympiacos aren't turning that down. Frankly, if you want to get politics involved, there's no way Zenit St. Petersburg or CSK Moscow is turning that down. So they will find 20 clubs, and it's going to be a case.
But is it worth it if it means, because judging by his, you know, Alexander Seferin just went nuclear today, saying, come, you know, he's like, I am going to ban every player that plays for those clubs. And then you got to ask yourself, is representing your country more important than playing in a Super League?
And that's the question we're going to ask immediately after this commercial break.
Hello everyone, Stephen Bradley here, and I'd like to take this moment to talk to you about Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. Number one, it's free. Two, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. It's how I'm editing this pod that you're listening to right now. Three, Anchor would distribute your podcast for you as well, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and many more platforms. Not only that, but you can make money from your podcast too, with no minimum listenership. Fantastic. It's everything that you need to make a podcast all in one place. For more details, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's anchor.fm, and everything will be in place for you to start your own podcast and make money from there. And now, back to the show.
You're welcome back to the show. We were just saying before the commercial break kicked in that whether it's right and appropriate to ask players to sacrifice personal glory for their country, for their clubs. Like, do clubs have the right to tell a player, no, you can't play here, no, you can't play there, when they're paying them £200,000, £300,000, £500,000 a week? Anita, is this something that a player should have to deal with? Is it a player that should be obligated to play for their country? Is it something that a club should be allowed to say, no, you're my employee, you do what I want? Is there a good answer?
It's a really tough one. I always, when it comes to international breaks and international football in general, I always am torn a bit, because I usually not too thrilled when many Arsenal players go on international duties, because, you know, always have those injury scares and players being too tired and all of that. But my Croatian side is like, oh, yes, definitely, we should have more international games and that we could watch and go and, you know, same as for away trips in Europe and all that. So I think that it would be really a big factor for players, that the fact that they might be banned from playing for their national teams, even though you sometimes think that plenty of them just care about the money, they just want the bigger paychecks and, you know, have life secured until they die basically. But still, I think that vast majority of them really want to represent their country and play for their people back at home and show how much, I mean, they love that their country and representing their country, and think that it will be a really big deal breaker if it really happens like that.
Lana, we see the issues already that come up. I work for an Irish local radio station. All I have to do is mention Declan Rice or Jack Grealish and the text machine blows up. English this, English that, snake, scumbag, traitor, etc., etc., because they've decided to play for what they believe their home nation instead of Ireland. And now with this, are we going to see more of that now? Are we going to start seeing fans turn on players because they won't sacrifice their contract and their employment status to play for their country?
Without a doubt, I think so. I mean, Anita makes a really good point. Players ultimate in the end wants to represent their country. They want to wear their shirts, because I can only imagine being, you know, a France fan, just the sheer joy of being, you know, World Cup winners. We're actually the best team in the world. We beat everyone on our way. And I can only imagine the sense of pride it is for these players. We saw it when they won the World Cup, the celebrations, how insane, how exceptional the receiving from the fans were, because it was such a special World Cup in France. I mean, it brings everyone together, no matter color, race, gender, you know, nationality. It's about one common goal, and it's, you know, being told that you're the best team in the world, you're the greatest country in the world for 4 years. And that will be, as Anita mentioned, it will be a deal breaker for clubs who are in the Super League, because players will think twice about joining a club like that if UEFA actually managed to get it through, which I have no issues with. I think it's actually pretty incredible that they're willing to do that. Can you imagine a Euros without Ronaldo? A Euros without Griezmann?
Mbappe, etc.
No, because if PSG or if France keep, you know, actually have a backbone and don't do it. I know, I read that the three teams that were invited were Marseille, Lyon, and PSG. They all declined. The same, you know, with the German clubs. I'm hoping it's not, you know, a play just to like be given the Champions League trophy on Friday and be like, yeah, we're joining it anyway, because, you know, we had a 14-day limit on to join you. But I'm hoping that's not the case, because I mean, if that's the case, then fine whatsoever. But I'm not so worried about France. If this becomes a reality, I actually sat down and geeked about it, because I thought, okay, which players will we miss out? We will miss out. Varane, Lloris, Ferland Mendy, Griezmann from Spain, if I'm not completely off books. Italy, only Rabiot, which is in, you know, the squad. The main concern is England, because you have Pogba, the Kante. Captain Lloris, Kante, Giroud, and Dombele. I mean, for Benzema, like I said, it doesn't matter, because they don't even feature for the national team. So it's like, we won't lose anything.
Yeah.
But can you imagine the players from France and Germany, like in terms of French players? They might be better if you put together a team than the current one.
Yeah. Just a young
Because Bayern guy. Has, yeah, because Bayern has five of the current World Cup squad. It's like Pavard, Tolisso, Coleman, Hernandez. Yeah, I think it's those four that are currently playing for Bayern that are like a shoo-in for the national team. And the rest is in France. You know, having Mbappe, it's like, okay, fine. And if you look at the other clubs outside the Super League, we should have more than good enough defenders.
Yeah, it's again similar as the whole Super League impact on the smaller clubs who will be left out and not getting as much money. It's the same for the smaller national teams, perhaps, because I mean, today my sister texted me. She didn't know anything about it. She's not on Twitter or not following the news. She was sleeping and going to her classes at uni, obviously. So she missed the news. So she just sent me an image with Modric, Kovacic, Rebic, Perisic, Brozovic, Vrsaljko, you know, crossed out, who will play for Croatia at Euros. And that was her main concern. What is happening? What does this mean? I think that even though Croatia is among top teams, not as much as before, but you know, when you look at all that, we will still struggle. And when you think about the other nations that might have, you know, their best players in biggest leagues, in Premier League, in biggest clubs, it still will be an impact on them. And their best players won't be able to join those big clubs and develop more. And, you know, it really, it influences so much.
Yeah, because if you think about it in terms of like the Champions League, just going back to last year, you had two French leagues, you know, joining the top four in the Champions League. And the amount of insane money, TV revenue that went, you know, came into League One, the fact that no clubs went bankrupt despite being, you know, during a pandemic, because they were allowed that money, not only, you know, gives you the chance to actually stay afloat, it gives you money for especially a country like France, where they focus so heavily on academies, to be able to produce, you know, quality, talented players that go on to become world class.
Mm-hmm.
Who is going to, you know, produce the next Varane, the next Griezmann, the next, you know, Kylian Mbappe, or the next Houssem Aouar if the Super League happens?
Yeah, it's, I can only hear. Yeah, it's same here in Croatia. I mean, basically, you have all other clubs rooting for Dinamo when they are in Europe, so they go as far further as they can in the competitions, because the whole league will get really insane amounts of money because of their prize and everything that, and the coefficient will go up and all that. It's just, it means a lot for, it might not mean so much for Premier League, La Liga and Serie A, but it means so much for smaller leagues, that money that might seem ridiculous and just, you know, weeks paychecks or something like that for some others, but for smaller leagues around Europe, it just means so much.
It's the whole fairy tale about, you know, the fact that Ajax managed to beat Real Madrid, Lyon managed to beat City, Porto managed to beat Juventus. It's those fairy tale nights that is what's so special about the Champions League. It's the fact that literally, quote unquote, smaller clubs are able to beat the big guns.
Mm. Like, it was good. Like with Dundalk being in Arsenal's group, Dundalk got €1 million for qualifying into the UEFA Europa League. And the owners went mad, and now their manager's sacked. Their manager didn't have a pro license, so he couldn't manage. So my friend, who's who was their opposition analyst, was the only person in the club with a pro license. So he was made manager, and he was sitting in the dugout as the manager, whilst the actual manager was in the stand roaring at the players, telling them what to do. Like, absolute farce. Like, and eventually, my mate went, I'm off. I'm not dealing with this shit. And it's like, it's just like Rangers going so far in Europe this year, even though they got beaten by Slavia Prague, means that there's now two places for Scottish teams in the Champions League next year. Now, what that'll mean with the Champions League next year, depending who gets into it, but there might be two Scottish teams in it next year. Like, it's the trickle down system. It's it's not much, but it's something. What this plan is doing is literally pretty much just turning off the tap. Going, nope, we're not even letting you have that because we want it for ourselves. And that's why I'm a little bit surprised that they said nothing to the players about this. Because the managers is not so much. It's the players they need. Because as much as Manchester United and Juventus and Arsenal and Chelsea and Real Madrid and Barcelona would talk about being more than a club and this means more and, you know, Victoria, Concordia, Crescent, and all that jazz. If the team is shit, no one will watch. The only reason people watch Arsenal when they're 13th and 14th is to watch them lose and laugh. And they want to watch them lose and laugh because the competition that they're in means something. No one wants to watch Arsenal in 13th and 14th in a Champions League on Wednesday night. Why? Why would you want to? And it's the same for, you know, Tottenham, Chelsea. You know, Chelsea versus Tottenham, 12th versus 13th. No thanks. And if you don't have those marquee players, if Barcelona and Real Madrid are playing in 6 years' time and they don't have anyone of note playing, where you know that the best players are playing somewhere else, where are you going to watch your football? You're going somewhere else because you know it's going to be better. So they need the players on board here. That's the one slip I think these owners have made, because in America, they have complete control over the player base, complete and total control. They decide who comes in. They decide which way they go. They literally decide which clubs they go to. That's it. You know,
it's like a draft, right?
Literally a draft. They have literally rigged the rules so that if your team finishes last in the league, you get first pick so that your team gets better. And then if your team finishes top, you get last pick. And it's not school ground where it's like a snake draft where it's like, right, I get last pick first time. I get first pick second time. It's literally you get last pick every time. And it's to make sure that the bottom teams go up and the top teams go down, because the owners don't want to be the bottom teams. They want to make sure that they've got a good chance of winning as well. So what you're going to see here is two things. One, the owners come in, right, lads, okay, we're setting up a new league. We're not getting relegated because fuck you. And two, you're not allowed to spend more than me. And that's the kicker. They're going to put in proper FFP. They're going to put in proper spending rules. And it's not for competition's sake. It's to make sure that Real Madrid don't spend 300 million euros to try and win the league, because Stan Kroenke doesn't want to spend 300 million euros winning the league. So they'll put a limit on it. They'll put a salary cap in, and they go, right, you can't spend more than that. And it'll be for one reason and one reason only. That's to make sure the owners make money.
Will PSG won't accept that? Because now basically they can splash money. You genuinely think Nasser Al Khelaifa wants a block on how much money he can spend? The man literally paid $2 billion for Kylian Mbappe. You think he would do that in the Super League?
That's the thing. That's exactly it.
If you're Nasser Al Khelaifa, you're thinking, if I'm him, I'm thinking, screw the Super League. If I look at it from, you know, the whole picture, I could sit comfortably outside, spend as much money as I want, still make sure, you know, the other clubs do it. Because if I think long term, the way if other clubs get money, they will produce and, you know, produce great talent, which I can just go and cherry pick later on, because they're already, you know, made, gone through the academy, got all the experience they need, ready to, you know, come into a bigger team. He doesn't strike me as someone who thinks money, money, money. He wants to be the best in the world. How do you become the best in the world? By having unlimited amount of cash to spend on whoever you want. This also puts a dent in the fact that Haaland, who plays for Dortmund, isn't going to want to join any of these clubs. If the rumors about banning them from the national team, kicking them out of their respective leagues as well, come into play, would you want to do it if you're Haaland, Anita?
No.
That's it.
Either stay or go to a club that isn't, you know, being a greedy bitch.
Yeah. And that's why Al Khelaifa is the key to this whole thing. The ruler of Qatar. Because if he wants to, this thing takes off tomorrow. If he decides to join, he owns the Qatari Champions League rights. He owns the Middle Eastern Champions League rights. He's got a World Cup in his back garden 15 months from now. Like, he has bought football, basically. And his team now, as it stands, is one of the best two or three in the world. It's just if not the best. And it's got, wherever you stand on Mbappe or Haaland or not, but he's got maybe the most valuable footballing asset in the world playing for his club. Mm-hmm. And he has set the financial agenda for football for the last 6 years as soon as he bought Neymar. As soon as he paid way more than he should have, knowing full well that Barcelona would not be able to resist that male big dick energy of, well, they're spending money, well, I'm going to spend money too because my penis is massive, and ended up spending 140 million on Coutinho.
And then going broke.
They're now 1.2 billion in debt. And that was the whole plan. It was like, right, if I can bankrupt Real Madrid, bankrupt Barcelona, it'll be me and my good friends in Abu Dhabi. That'll be it. And maybe if Roman Abramovich can stay alive. That's it. They're the only three that I'll ever have to worry about. And right now, it's working. It's grubby as hell, but it's working.
And if he's smart, he will keep it that way.
And that's why
he wants to sit alone on the top.
Yep. Mm. Well, I don't think he would mind having Bayern Munich with him. Yeah. You know, like Qatar Airways have given Bayern Munich 50 million over the last 3 years, and Bayern Munich have their weather winter camp where? Qatar. And do they play friendly? Of course they do. And they would be, like I said, if PSG were to decide, do you know what? We don't want to miss out. We think we want to be part of the show.
But what would they miss out on?
If
they can still comfortably beat them. Yeah, but they have some of the best. Have you seen their sponsorship game? Like, it's insane. I think they have commercial deals with fucking toothbrush companies in France, or like deodorant. They can literally get sponsorship deals with or without the Champions League with whoever they want. They're that powerful.
But we're talking France, about will that be global enough?
Yeah, global as well. They have like load Don't they have like an with Jordan as well?
Yeah. As long as if they keep Mbappe and Neymar, they'll be insane in 3 or 4 years, because they'll be Nike. They'll be Nike's poster child, basically.
Mm-hmm. You know, like Mbappe already is.
Yeah, like they have Mbappe and Jordans. That's not a surprise. That's not a mistake. You know, they have him in America's most worn sneaker company, and not Nike's, in Jordans. And they have Paris Saint-Germain away kits and third kits in Jordans, and not Nike. Again,
and they're sold out literally 5 minutes after they're posted online.
I know. I've tried.
Everyone wants to wear them. It's like, and just their whole global expansion of the club in general, it is so huge. It's like mind blowing how smart the man is. And that's why I genuinely don't think he would join. I'm hoping he wouldn't, because he has the power to actually be on top of the world with Bayern. If he wants, he can bring some other clubs with him up top as well. He gets to rule Europe.
Yeah.
But while Super League is hit with sanctions, strips of titles, getting kicked out of, you know, their respective leagues. I don't know if it's true, there talks about the British government working together with the FA and UEFA about denying,
basically.
Denying visas and everything.
Good luck with that one. I know Brexit means Brexit, etc., but good luck with denial of trade. Like, that's if you can prove that if you're an employee and you've signed a contract and you can prove that the British government is denying you the right to work in their country for no good reason, ka-ching. You know, like, the lawyers are going to make money off this, and that's why I'm surprised they don't have the players on board yet, because without the players, this doesn't get off the ground. Like you said, if Neymar or Mbappe stay at PSG, or if Manchester United say, let's say the 12 clubs by themselves just start a league next season, and they go, right, we're going to play amongst ourselves, and they get a TV deal. What happens in 3 years' time when Bukayo Saka's contract expires? You know, like, what's up? If he's like, do you know what? I'm not really, this isn't working for me. No one can afford me because this league is making so much money, yet I want to play for my country. I'm English. I feel proud to wear the three lions. I'll go to play for Leeds. I'll go play for West Ham. I'll go play for Crystal Palace. I'll go play for whatever London club wants me. Like, it's keeping these players under contract is going to be the key, because that's what they do in America. There is no other place for them to work if they want to make the money that they can make in the NFL or the NBA or NHL or MLB. Like,
but is it legal in Europe? The way it's set up in America, would the rules, the legal, like, legality of the whole thing, how would it work in Europe? I mean, I know you're not a lawyer.
No. If the players agree to it, if the union agrees to it, fine.
There's no union for players. I mean, Toni Kroos said it. Had there been a union, you could bet your ass that no players would want to be part of this.
That's
FIFA.
There would be.
But look at the fact that the best female player in the world has gone out and said that this is destroying football, and which might sound semi-ironic given the fact that the team she plays for has totally dominated women's football for the past decade. But it speaks volume when former players also come out and, like, this isn't okay. It's the fact that Norway, who arguably has the two top best young talents in the world in Ødegaard and Haaland, are like, we will stand UEFA. If you want to ban them from playing for a national team, go ahead. We don't mind. Or in case of Haaland, he gets to play, but Ødegaard, who's the captain of Norway as well, won't be able to, you know, actually wear his country's shirt.
Yeah, and I agree that they missed a spot here by not getting players on this, because there was lots of talk about, you know, modern football fan and legacy fans, which are we probably, who have been following football and all that But you know, they are now...
that's an awful term, by the way. Like if you want to
thought up by someone in marketing, probably.
Yeah, it's an awful. Yeah, like if you want to keep, if you want to encourage people to keep money in their pockets, call them a legacy fan. Fuck me, that no, like even me, capitalist fucking me, looked at that and went, that's not good. Don't say that in public. But they did.
Yeah, they are aiming at modern football fans who are in really big numbers, rather connected with players than clubs. They are following players where they are going in different clubs and in national team and all that. And they definitely, I think, missed the spot for not including players in that, getting them involved. And now they will have players going out with statements like Herrera and all those mentioned before against this, rather than have, you know, someone, even though we would all, you know, read through it and say it's PR, it's stupid messages, it doesn't mean anything. But if you have a few players standing behind your Super League and all that, might, you know, mean more for some modern football fans and even some of the current football fans, you know, then rather than have like crankers or, you know, random boards, people on boards and the CEOs of football clubs that many younger fans who are now like target audience, to put that, maybe they don't even know about them. But they will see that Mbappe, Neymar, who else, you know, goes against this, and they would think, yeah, it's really not a good idea, even though they don't know much about it, don't know much about the history of football and all that. Definitely missed a point here, and I hope that it will backfire.
That's
did
the key.
Did you guys see Agnelli's video? He basically drew up spreadsheet of stats saying 2/3 are following a club for a player. I mean, you can just look at Juve, half of them are Juve fans because of, you know, Ronaldo. And how many are Barcelona fans because of Messi?
Yeah.
So, but the concerning number for him was the fact that 40% didn't watch football. That was the major concerning number for him. And I'm like, really, dude? So what Anita mentioned just now, like in terms of, you know, Mbappe and Neymar staying, could that be looked at as the new being quote unquote loyal? Mm-hmm. As you know, remember when Gerrard stayed at Liverpool, fine, he got death threats, that's why he didn't want, you know, didn't have the ball sleeve. Lampard staying, you know, Del Piero, Trezeguet going down with Juve and coming back up when they got relegated, and all these, you know, Di Natale being a one club player, Totti and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. Are now Neymar and Mbappe, if PSG don't stay, the new modern version of loyalty? Do you think?
Yeah, that's a very very good point. You know, like football is being redefined in front of us. You know, like, you know, like as Anita said, you know, a lot of people watch football because of the players watching. And as Agnelli has pointed out, 40% of people who follow Juventus don't even watch Juventus. They follow Ronaldo. They want to know, see where he was. And it's a problem that they're starting to have in the NBA, because for decades, the owners had the power. And the way teams were built, you know, with salary caps that were draconian and made sure that no one could spend as much as they could. And even though players wanted to go to LA and New York and Miami because it's really nice there, they ended up having to stay in Oklahoma or Milwaukee or San Antonio because they couldn't really get out, because the contracts that were being offered was so much bigger there. They're like, I may as well stay here and get paid twice as much. Now, it's not happening anymore. You know, we've got a situation where Brooklyn has 3 of the best 5 players in the league playing for them. Like, and the whole thing is designed for not to happen. Yet Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden went, fuck it. We want to play with our friends. So we're going to play on the same team and fuck competitive balance. And now basketball is in a really bad place because there's 30 teams in the league. And on a nightly basis, you really only want to watch 4 or 5 of them. And that's where football would go if either A, you concentrated players within a certain realm, which is kind of what's happening right now, but people still watch leagues because of the novelty, and there's still a nuance that they don't get. It's still, there's still a shine, a new, almost like a new car smell of the you know, La Liga and the Bundesliga and the Serie A and the French League to English fans, because they haven't been readily accessible as they are now. And they're like, oh, well, I get to watch a French League game. Well, this is good. You know, like, there's still an opportunity to watch different players. But if they're in another league, if they're away from you, if they're like, oh, if you've got Manchester United versus Chelsea and they're going, yeah, we're the best clubs in the world. Who's our best player? Fred. Like, like, no one's going to watch. It doesn't matter who you are. It does not matter who you are. It's the amount of money that would get pumped into a league where Fred is United's best player is not as much as Ligue 1 is going to get if Mbappe and Neymar are playing for PSG.
This is, as you know, football's, as you mentioned, football is being redefined every day. In terms of formations and how the whole new systems, adding teams, the removing, etc. Maybe that's the same case with loyalty as well. It's that, you know, it might look different from how you're used to it. I'm used to watching my, you know, my club captain going down to second division with his club and bringing them back up again. That was the definition of loyalty for me. But now when, you know, when Anita mentioned it, because it's such a heavy focus on modern football and modern day fans, that maybe this is also the new modern loyalty concept. And as you mentioned, Stephen, that maybe, you know, the lesser evil outweighs the new evil.
Yeah, but it's one of those.
Do you want, who's the most evil? Fine, we know UEFA and FIFA are the corrupt bastards that they are. But are they more evil than the plans being set in motion currently now that could potentially destroy smaller clubs and football as we know it going forward?
Well, with UEFA, as much as they are money grabbing and as much as they're trying to do this for commercial gain, at least they are doing it. They're being cunts, but they're doing it behind my back. You know, they're still supporting the game. There is still money going to Ireland. The FAI would not be solvent right now if it wasn't for UEFA. Like, they are still doing something towards helping football in quote unquote lesser countries. And I think that's the issue at play here with this league. I think 90%, maybe even more, would be totally okay if the owners, if the 12 clubs set up their own league, said, right, lads, we're starting from scratch. We're setting up something new. It's going to be exciting. We've got $6 billion from JP Morgan to sort it out. Here's how it's going to work. Here's who's going to qualify. Here's how you get in. And they said nothing about founding clubs. And they said nothing about permanency. If they set up this league and did not guarantee their own place in it, I think we'd all be for it.
Yeah, definitely. And like an addition to what we have now, all the cup competition and
yeah, it would be a change. Instead of UEFA running it, it would be the clubs running it. And they do, like I said, they do what they do in America. They'd appoint, I know Florentino Perez has been called the first chairman of it, but they'd probably appoint a commissioner, someone to run it, someone above the owners that is paid by the owners. But basically, if a club steps out of line, the commissioner goes, you're fined. And that's it. And they run someone like that. And if they'd done every single thing, the bog standard logo and website that, frankly, Anita could have done better in 30 seconds in her computer. check her out for designs, by the way. They're fantastic. Like, it's like everything. If all they'd had to do was take out was the fact that the 12 founding clubs can't get relegated. That's it. If they just took out that, everyone's okay with it. In fact, UEFA might even be okay with it. UEFA might even give them a seal of approval. They might say, okay, we'll call it Champions League Division 1 or some shit like that. But no, it's the fact that the 12 clubs are doing this for the sole purpose of making sure that they're always in it. That's the kicker. That's the one that tips it from, ooh, I'm excited for this, to bastards. And I don't think there's a line in between that you can kind of sit on like a fence.
You're either on or not.
Yeah.
Because that's what the vibe I'm getting from Twitter is. Oh, you're such fickle persons. How can you not be on board of that? Well, because I know I'm a person of integrity. I actually, you know, like football. Don't want it to be rude. It's the whole charm of the Champions League that literally any club can enter it, judged by how they play in the qualifiers. And then, as Anita mentioned, they have maybe one or two clubs that do well in Europe or Champions League. But when they get into the tournaments, that money is so much for the clubs, you know, coming after them.
Yeah.
But with this Super League, the only ones benefiting from it is the founding fathers. God, that sounds like such a nasty word. Or the 20 clubs that's in it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. It's like, why are we playing this league? We're playing this league because 12 people want more money. That's why we're playing. And that's
if you look at it, Juve lost to Atlanta at the weekend. They're currently fifth and might risk losing out on the Champions League.
But even with the new system in 2024, the two clubs that are highest in the UEFA coefficients that don't qualify through their national league, they get in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So Juventus right now could finish 17th, 18th in Serie A and still get in. Like even if UEFA decides, you know what, we've killed the Super League, it's over, it's finished, it's done. Oh, by the way, there's two clubs eligible for it. Arsenal would be one of them. So even finishing 9th, 10th, wherever we are, we end up losing to Villarreal and Unai Emery in the semi-final, we'd still get in. Like, it's getting fixed in terms of getting big clubs in every year, one way or another. It's just whether you like being fucked from in front or behind.
Can someone answer me why Spurs are in the Super League?
Money, Lara, no, nothing but else.
Why
they are
were
among
they
the
picked?
Top 15? They were among the top 15 richest clubs.
11,
they're not
11,
even the, but they're
of
not
the top
even top
12,
30 clubs in Europe.
11
no
of
offense,
the top,
neither is Arsenal.
11 of the
but
top
money
12
wise,
money
yeah.
earners. Yeah, 11 of the top 12 money earners in the world last year are in this league, and the only one that isn't is Paris Saint Germain.
Yep.
We
and then
need...
you have AC Milan who are 30th.
Yeah, AC Milan are broke.
Yeah, but they're based on merit, based on the fact that they're one of the most successful clubs in the world.
Look, if you're going to put three clubs in from England that based on merit, you put United, Liverpool, Arsenal. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an Arsenal podcast saying Arsenal deserve to get in. That's Arsenal being third in leagues and first in FA Cups.
If you would do it in France, do you know who it would be? Saint-Étienne, Marseille, and Lyon.
Yeah.
You know, like, it wouldn't even be PSG.
No. And you wouldn't put Chelsea or City in. Like I said, even back in 1988, they were having this discussion when the Big Five were meeting in a hotel room to discuss, talking with ITV about selling their rights. And the Big Five at the time were United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Everton, who were really good at the time, and Tottenham. And it's the same argument. You go through the papers, the same argument. Why are Tottenham there? And Tottenham there because they were owned by Alan Sugar, who was the richest owner in English football at the time. And he was like, well, yeah, I'm worth a shit ton of money. I want to be part of this. So do you think this is actually going to go through?
It's a really tough one because you have seen talks of around this. As you already mentioned before, Arsene Wenger has been talking about this for a decade, basically, especially, and then again 2 years ago when he was leaving the Arsenal, and you were always thinking, ah, it's just empty talks, it's just another way to get more money from UEFA to get more changes or stuff like that. Right now, I think it looks the more possible than it ever has before. Hard to say if it will actually happen. As Lala said, if PSG joined, then I think definitely will happen. But at the moment, it's really so close, so possible that it's getting a bit scary.
I think they will join. I think any club who is currently invited, which is PSG, Bayern, and Leipzig, if I'm not mistaken, I saw a document saying PSG had 14 days to respond to the invite. the German clubs had 30 days. So I'm thinking it all depends on the fallout of how much can UEFA get through with banning players from the national team, kicking the teams out of their respective leagues, and imposing the transfer ban, which is like the latest addition from UEFA.
So it's the money, isn't it? If the money adds up, there'll be a league. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah, but what is the consequences of joining that league?
Well, they can't be kicked out of the Premier League. Like the rule states, it's not the 14-6 rule. That's the, like, you don't need a 2/3 majority. It's, you need 3/4 to kick a team out.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
if
yeah.
you would imagine that, although it would be hilarious if they did it in order and, you know, they said, right, we need 15 votes to kick Tottenham out, and Arsenal went lol. you know, knowing that they only had 14 to do it, and then Arsenal, oh yeah, screw it. And then obviously Tottenham are out, but no, they need 15 votes, and obviously there's 14 that aren't involved in this and 6 that are. So they won't be kicked out, they can't be kicked out of the Premier League as it stands. Now, can the 14 clubs dock them points, dock them sanctions, dock them money? Of course they can, but at spiting your nose to cut off your face, and I know I've said that backwards, but that's the point. Like, it's what if you're Fulham, Leicester, West Ham, do you want to piss off these clubs? Because if you do, they might just fuck off. And if they do convince the players to go with them, you're fucked.
Yeah,
but how? Also, yeah,
that mean for the Premier League and for the TV rights and all the appeal of the Premier League. How many fans globally will tune in to watch? I don't know, Burnley against Crystal Palace or something like that.
Yeah, for the title, like that's the problem. But that's what these big clubs are doing. They're using this as leverage. They're saying, look, we know what we're worth. We know what prestige and what value we add to these deals. We know that we're 90% of the reason why you're getting $3 billion a year, and we want more of it. We're sick of.
I don't think Spurs or Arsenal currently add any value or interest.
It's the Jalen Rose principle. It's you never get what you deserve. You get what you have the power to negotiate for. And right now, Arsenal and Tottenham have the power to negotiate for a hell of a lot more than what they're worth.
Yeah, and we all live in a little bubble. You know, you think you watch the club and think, oh, we're shit. No one wants to watch this every week in, week out, even against bigger teams, when it will look even more shit than it looks at the moment. But there are many who want to watch that. There has been so much discussion about the season tickets and all that, ever since the changes have started to happen at the Arsenal, I want to renew my season ticket. They won't see me again. I won't go to the match. Okay, fine. There are thousands of other people who are waiting in line just to give the club the money.
They'd get more expensive too, though. You could. Mm-hmm.
They are the most expensive in Europe.
But I can guarantee you those 9 home games, because the way this Super League would work, you're getting 2 blocks of 10, you finish in the top 4, you go through to the quarterfinals. You finish in the top 8, you get through to the last 16. They play each other twice. 9 home games, 9 away games, right? You get 9 more home games. I guarantee you those will all be Category A games. 120.
100%.
But can you guarantee that they will be played at the Emirates Stadium when it comes to the Super League and all that? Yeah.
Would they be allowed to play at the Emirates, though?
They will. But shouldn't playing them in like Los Angeles or Miami or something like that.
Yeah, just have an
international
round.
Maybe not in the first season. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But do Arsenal need to have it approved to play the Super Leagues at their stadium?
But
like,
that's the thing.
Probably a stupid question.
They're making up the rules themselves. That's the thing.
Yeah.
They can literally play it wherever the fuck they want. Like London, they have 5-6 games in London every year in the NFL. Like the Jacksonville Jaguars owner wanted to buy Wembley for $600 million because he wanted his team to be the London Jaguars and play in London. Like, go what? You think Spurs' stadium is nice? Wait until you see American football in that fecker. They literally and everyone was thinking, oh, lovely, they'll fuck up the pitch. No, they won't. They'll wheel out the soccer one and the NFL one's underneath it. It's insane. And they've done that so that maybe in a few years' time, Jacksonville move in and give them a couple of $100 million for it to help pay it off. Like, it's like the money at stake here is astronomical. And that's what these clubs are trying to do. Like, they are trying to get hundreds of millions more a year, not tens, hundreds. They see all these TV deals, they see them being split 20 ways and them getting 5% and going, eh, we're worth more than that. So let's have our own.
No, you're not. Juve is not worth more than that. I can guarantee you, no one wants to sit and watch Juve on the pillow. I don't. No one wants to see a 36-year-old holding my club hostage. You know what? Okay, so I'm wondering, if we look at Germany, how it's set up. So that's like owned by the fans, 51% point something something. Why 50, can't 50 we get
point
that?
50.00001. 50 plus one, yeah.
So why can't we? And Germany's a pretty rich and wealthy club. In that sense, find the cherry pick whoever talent comes through the big, you know, the clubs. But why can't we see more of that in other leagues? Would that be better? Because then the fans also actually have a huge say in this. Like, my friend's a Barcelona fan, and he said that it had to be voted and have a unanimous agreement for this to go through.
So,
since they voted for the club president, so it's not like fuck the fans, we do it as we want. The fans actually has a say in this.
And the answer to that is good old-fashioned democracy. It's one man, one vote. And one man, and as what happened in Real Madrid last week, one man stood for election, he voted himself, and he won. Like, it's like, what will happen with Bayern? What will happen? That's what happened. Like, Florentino Perez went up, I'm standing again for president. It's an election. Who will I face? Crickets. Oh, no one. Oh, well, I've been elected unopposed. Yeah, of course he's petting it off. But it's the point that if Bayern Munich's board, if Bayern Munich look at this and they see PSG going in, that's why PSG is so key. If PSG go in and Bayern Munich look at the European landscape and they go, right, do we want to be a big fish in a small pond? Do we want this version of the UEFA Champions League, to in essence be another Bundesliga? Because Bayern Munich will be so far and head and shoulders ahead of everybody else in terms of revenue and wage bill, etc. Where they would be the overwhelming favourites to win the double and triple every single year. Is that enough to them? And I genuinely don't, as a team that calls themselves FC Hollywood, I don't think their ego would allow themselves to not compete in this, because they see themselves as the equals, if not better, of everyone else. And if PSG and Manchester United and Real Madrid and Barcelona and Juventus and Milan and every, you know, the big names, whether we like them or not, they're the big names. If they're in a league and they're making a shit ton of money, Bayern Munich are going to put up their hands and go, hang on a minute, why aren't we in this? And this, yes, they need 50.1% of the vote. But if the board votes for it, and that's 49.9%, then you don't need many fans to vote for it at all to tip that scale up to 50 plus one. You need maybe a few hundred, maybe 1,000. You need a tiny percentage of the total fan base to vote for this and it goes through. So the fact that it's a 50 plus one ownership is pretty irrelevant if the board, who controls just under 50% for it, all vote in block and say yes. You would need a unanimous fan base. And as Arsenal fans, we know that a unanimous fan base is a myth.
Yeah, but the sporting director came out and said, we are not going to join.
So far, he didn't say never.
Yeah, he could be begging for a bit more. Something.
What else can you get? You get a boat shit tons of money and basically you're top. I like to think I'm gonna sound naive. Everyone's gonna assume that. I like to think that there's still some decency left in football. You hope and wish that there is.
Yeah, and you're hoping, when
ironically,
had...
ironically, you're hoping that the most anti-decent, morally good club turns out to be PSG.
Yeah.
Who actually says yeah. no. That yeah. actually stands against the pressure. Like, basically, you're at a party and PSG is the only one not drinking. So will you stay halal or will you go the haram road, basically? Because since we're in the holy month of Ramadan, I'm going to use those terms. Can we hope that they will still stay pure in all of their sins and fight PSG. This? I'm actually hoping that's how naive and hopeful I am that this whole picture I have of football isn't completely destroyed.
I hope the listener has heard Lana's comments over the sound of the rufflecopter that has been flying around for the last 3 minutes. Because the thing about football, right? The thing about supporting a club, the thing about wanting our club to win is that when Arsenal win something, you'd like to think, maybe they have, maybe they haven't, but you'd like to think that they've earned it. That they've done something wrong. No, but they've done something right. That they've done something better than everybody else. That when they win a league, it's because they were the best team. It's not because they bought someone who was twice as good as anybody else and they spent twice as much money as anybody else and they've got twice as big a stadium as anybody else and they've got twice as big a crowd as anybody else. It's just because we've got the best team and we built it the right way and we do things the right way and our club is the best. You'd like to think that it's through experience and through something that the club has legitimately earned over time. And everything about this stinks of privilege, of just being born with a silver spoon in your mouth and saying that we deserve this. And we deserve nothing. It's a competition. You're supposed to earn it. And yet here we are trying to rig it so that we get given a heads up and a hand up and a foot up above everyone else just because we are who we are. That's the stain that it leaves. That's the dirty taste you can feel in your mouth. That Arsenal are trying, at least Arsenal's owners are trying, to rig football so that they can make more money and they don't care about the damage that they're leaving behind. And as a result, because we, as fans of this club, are looking at what the owners, as the caretakers of this club, are doing in the name of our club, we look at them and go, you're not really doing this for us, are you? You're only in this.
Yeah, but look at Liverpool fans. Liverpool is known to be a club of the people. It's like commoners built it up, basically.
Yeah.
And this is a club, you know, with pretty very huge and important principles compared to maybe some of the others. No disrespect to, you know, the other clubs, but I've never seen a fan base make banners so quickly as I saw Liverpool fans ahead of the Leeds game. I've never seen so many people show up against the gates to demonstrate. Just to see the look on Jurgen Klopp, he tried to be diplomatic, but you could be like, he is so pissed because he just found out about it yesterday.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, if you want your club to succeed, don't you want the players on board? Don't you want the manager on board to unite those players to actually sell your cause?
They can buy new ones.
Yeah, but who wants to join if the consequences? I mean,
that might be their thinking, you know?
Yeah, but do you think they're looking at the big, like the picture from like overall at like, what consequences are we going to do this?
Do they care? Mean, like if this doesn't work, let's say this doesn't work. Let's say they try to get this off the ground. Bayern say, bleep you, PSG swipe left, Leipzig swipe left. Everyone swipes left and you're left, you know, standing outside the nightclub with no one but an empty taxi. And they come back to the Premier League with their tails between their legs and they go, sorry. There will still be someone like Manchester United's share price went up 10% this morning.
Juve's as well. I think 9%.
Yeah, 9%. Like that's hundreds of millions. Like if someone, if Joel Glazer, the Manchester United chairman, comes out and says, look, this is a non-runner. We tried to give it a go. We're sorry. We're going to try and rejoin the ECA. We're going to try and rejoin the UEFA, et cetera, et cetera. The Premier League let them back in straight away. And Joel Glazer goes, right, do you know what? I've had enough of this shit. I'm selling up. There will be 20 people outside his door in the morning with a suitcase with 3, maybe 4 billion pounds in it. I'm not, that's no exaggeration. Yeah. They've already turned down 3 billion from the lad that bought Nice.
Yeah. Look how well they're doing.
Yeah, the lad who runs the Ineos Grenadiers. Like, they've turned down 3 billion from him. Like, Arsenal's worth 2 billion minimum. Like, they've made their money. This is just an effort to make sure that their grandsons make money. That's it.
But if you're UEFA, will you let them back in, or would you be like, because of the bullshit crap you pulled on us, on your fans, your mother and daughter, on Lana and Anita and Steven, one-year suspension.
Hi, I'm Sky Sports. I'd like to offer you £10 million per game for your league as long as Juventus are in it. Goodbye.
I'll be like, fuck Juve, fuck Agnelli, fuck Ronaldo, fuck Juve again.
Right.
And see, Schiffer,
and now Schiffer everyone's watching league.
Resign.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, there is no good outcome to this. Either this works and football is fucked, or this doesn't work and football is fucked.
There was so many questions going around Twitter, like the existential questions. So I'm going to ask you now. Would you stop following your club if they go into Super League? Or would you stop watching football? Would you boycott Super League or something like that if it happens, if it goes forward?
I should, but I probably won't.
Yeah, me neither.
I would. I would, without a doubt. I've already lost the attachment to Juventus after the fact that they kept quiet about Ronaldo's rape allegations and went behind, you know, stood behind him, and then sacked Allegri and then hired Sarri and then hired a fucking winemaker because he looked good on books. So my attachment to Juventus Football Club has been down ever since they kicked out Del Piero as well, the way they treated him. I have no issues not supporting them. I will watch probably just because, you know, time wasting, but my attachment to a club will deteriorate a lot. It won't be that same sense, you know, that level of pride of actually saying I support this club, because you might semi feel ashamed to know that your club is turned out to be what you have made fun of PSG for being, made fun of Chelsea and City for being.
Yep.
Basically, you know, rich oil clubs being sponsored by oil states who are against human rights, or Russian oligarchs being sponsored by Putin. You're basically effectively becoming the thing you've laughed and mocked at for years.
It's always that whenever someone asks me, or I've seen, you know, fans in general, what would make you stop supporting the club that you are supporting? And it's the most common answer is always usually the change of principles, you know, what the club stands for, what the club represents. And this would definitely be like a big question if it happens, if it goes forward. I'm not sure I will... I do say that, yeah, this will definitely change my stance towards the club. And as you said, Lana, wouldn't be so attached as before. But I think that I would still follow and watch because it's just too big a part of my life now.
Of course. But do you think Wenger would have stayed if he was in charge now? Or would he walk? Judge, if you focus solely on the fact that he's a man of honor, his principles, the things he stands for, the things he preached about, which half of the fan base hounded him out for, given the things he said over the years about this becoming a reality, would he walk?
He walked from Monaco because Marseille were match fixing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. He has previous. I wouldn't bet against it. And it's the same with Klopp, frankly. Like, I know a lot of Liverpool fans they don't expect him to resign, but I don't think they bet against it either, because they know him to be a man of character, a man of
principle,
man of, you know, like, his political views are very well known on this. He is not a fan, and he said the same tonight. He just said, you know, my opinions haven't changed. And if he was to come out and say, do you know what, lads, this is just money grabbing. I don't want to be associated with it. I've done enough for this club. I've tried to do what I think is right by this club. This club has changed. I'm not changing. Off I tot. I think everyone associated with Liverpool Football Club, apart from the owner, would give him a guard of honour as he walked off.
Yeah.
You know, and if Mikel Arteta was to do the same, I think Arsenal fans would be disappointed that he left, but I don't think they'd give out to him for leaving. I think if he came out and he said, do you know what, lads, not for me. This isn't my idea of a football club. This isn't my idea of what I want to do. I want to try and win this on merit. I don't need a hand up. I don't need a couple hundred million in my pocket. I was promised I could do this job the way I wanted to, and now the job description has changed. Go get someone else in. I think we'd be desperately sad to see him go. I know a lot of people are Arteta in, Arteta out, and God knows I've been sitting on that fence for a while, but I'd still be disappointed to see him go, but I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't blame him one bit. Like, that's how...
Yeah, neither the players either.
Yeah. You know, like, if you tell a player, like we discussed earlier, if you tell a player you can't play for your country anymore, if he's like, I'm sorry, but playing for my country means more to me than playing for this club, I'd like to be sold, please. What do you say?
Or walk on a free.
Yeah.
Walk on a free.
In case if Saka, you know, if they actually, this becomes a reality and Saka has a release clause on like 10 billion, no one can afford it unless you're like PSG. Fuck it, we'll blow the next 10 years of our transfer budget on Saka.
And if they're not in the Champions League,
will these clubs in the Super League run the risk of having players walk on a free if there's release clauses included?
No, because there's no point in watching. If PSG are in the Super League and Mbappe and Neymar aren't there, why would you want to watch PSG?
Yeah,
you know, that's
not
why
to watch Verratti get booked every year game.
You know, they need the stars, they need the star power, they need the players. If they have them, this is a gore. It's why, like, that we're all surprised that they weren't consulted until this is announced. It's almost like, yeah, they'll fall in line. They're getting paid enough. Because the players see this coming a mile away, too. They see salary caps coming. They see, you know, their chances of earning big money being reduced. They see exactly where all the money's going. So getting them on side, there might have to be promises of either lower transfer fees in the Super League itself, so that more money goes into signing on bonuses. Maybe contracts get structured in such a way where players can't go on Bosmans, but players get bought out of contracts a lot more often, and you can pay a player to go and it goes into his pocket instead of the club. You know, like, there's a lot of ways around it, but to compensate them for not being able to play a World Cup,
how you can't compensate that?
No.
Unless you're Karim Benzema.
Yeah, but, you know, it's one of those situations
that's why I'm thinking, is the lore of the national team shirt stronger than the club?
Benzema is an exception, I'd say.
Yeah, but if you're Antoine Griezmann, who scored, I'm sorry, Anita, a World Cup final goal, I'm genuinely sorry. It's not, you know, it's the fact that you brought joy to a whole nation. Is that more important than the lore of money and playing in a super pack?
I mean, does it turn the lights on? A genuine question.
Yeah, but what's...
that's not...
So basically, there's no integrity left then. That's what you're saying, that we should all just lay down and cry and die because football is completely dead.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
That Ander Herrera is just doing it for PR.
Yeah. Like, that's genuinely what might be at play here. We might be looking at the end of international football as we know it, because the
big... Well, I'm just going to go and die now. Thank you.
You know, I really miss those few seasons when our only worry was when will we finish in top four? Will it be this month or next month? And we were complaining about it so much, and now it's like, oh, please get me back.
I miss Wenger so much. I miss him so incredibly much. It's
imagine they brought him to be commissioner. Here, you want to run world football? Here you go. All the best players in one league. $20 million a year.
No, he's a man of honor. He has too
much
integrity.
I think that he would go with the what you suggested before, Stephen, the like a hybrid model with the relegations and qualifying and all that.
Yeah, but he probably
he believes.
Yeah, but
he believes in a fair world.
Yeah,
he fights. He's Robin Hood. Don't turn him into a fucking monster. Not on my watch.
Football is changing.
He said he's against it. He says he's against it.
He didn't suffer enough abuse from fans only to go and be the commissioner. No, I refuse, because genuinely I will then just like give up on football and go watch paddle or dart. Yeah, apparently that's sports and people watch it. They're actually world tournaments about dart where people take a fucking stick and throw it at the wall. That's what I'm going to do.
Steven watches that. I think Steven watches
I enjoy dart.
The only way I would enjoy dart is if the arrow actually stabbed the living shit out of Agnelli, Didier Deschamps, Patrick Evra. Literally, and I would get away with it.
Would you mind having a fat man beside him shouting 180 as it hit the third one?
So, Lana for president. She just killed the three most awful people in the world in her book.
Not in England or Ireland, where you've just banned darts.
Thierry Henry then. Are you happy?
Well, in Ireland, yeah, then you're happy. You can't have Thierry Henry or darts. Look, I think, listener, we're going to wrap it up here. I mean, we've rambled on for an hour. Before Lana ends up getting, you know, extradited to Dublin on charges of ruining drinking as a whole, and before football changes.
Wait, you drink to dart?
Yes. Everyone does.
Not me.
Oh, no, the only reason darts exist is so you can drink.
It's a pub game here.
It's a pub game.
I forgot it's like you guys are alcoholics, but...
Yes. Yeah, well, it's a job description, but yes. No, but like... Oh, no, go watch a Premier League darts event. Well, not now, obviously, there's no crowd, but go watch, there's like 15,000 people, especially in Holland. They're insane.
Yeah, yeah, it's streaming wonderful. Service I work for, we send World Cup dart. And one time there was like a black screen for literally maybe 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I had over 100 customers calling it. And I was like, we send dart? What? I legit had no idea, because it's such an irrelevant sport in my head. No offense, Steven. I'm sorry.
And on that bombshell, Anita Dow, Anita Sambal, thanks very much for joining me.
It was really fun to discuss the reality that we are facing.
I don't think it's going to be the last time. I think this is going to be an ever-changing subject over the next few weeks, because if you ever come out on Friday and say Chelsea are gone, Man City are gone, Real Madrid are gone out of the Champions League, United and Arsenal have gone out to the Europa League, and we get treated to PSG lifting the Champions Cup in an empty stadium in a Villarreal versus Roma Europa League final.
At least we won't be kicked out by Unai Emery.
Yeah.
That's a silver lining.
Yeah, happy days.
God, I need a book a session with my therapist.
Let's not start on Emery.
And I need
We need to discuss Emery, guys.
Well,
next time.
We might not be playing him yet. We don't. We might be kicked out of the competition before next Thursday week. That's the problem. Yeah. I can't spend 20 minutes talking about it, because the game literally might be cancelled on Friday.
Who do you think is more upset about that? Fans or him?
Him.
He must really hate Arsenal. Like, genuinely hate the fans.
Just in general, it's just I got sent here and tried to speak English for 15 months, got ridiculed for all the time, even though I can speak better English than half the people who were interviewing me at the time. And then I got to Europa League final, which is what I always do, and they still sacked me. Yeah, and then sacked him for someone basically because they had better hair.
No, first a bald guy, then a better hair.
No, Freddie Ljungberg has better hair than Unai Emery.
He doesn't have hair.
He doesn't, exactly.
Exactly.
It's still better. And on that note, we'll talk to you next week, listener. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye.